In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Crosthorne Hotel, King's Cross.
It's our anniversary, so...
In a corridor.
Yeah, 6 months. God off. Turn down service! No, I can't bring my maid's outfit home. You already...
The maid lowers her phone, seeing a man face down in a pool of blood. A scene of crime officer is with DS Ronnie Brooks.
Shot once in the chest. Yep. Small calibre, maybe a 22.
Murder weapon? A man can drink, can't
he? Woman next door said she had a shot at around 5 o'clock. Thought it was a TV. And room 606 saw a man in the corridor wearing a green sweatshirt about the same time.
Right, so we have Mr. Michael Trent, aged 38.
Return ticket to Southampton. A couple of theatre tickets for tomorrow night in the West End. 40 quid and some receipts.
Oh, and a mobile phone.
Yeah, it's okay. No sign of forced entry, so... Not a robbery. What's that in a bucket?
Oh, vodka.
And,
He picks up underpants.
What? That's it? Just a spare pair of pants?
Oh, and there's a shirt on the chair.
Okay, so a flying visit?
Or he just didn't like packing.
Ronnie goes to a window.
Unlike the first Mrs. Brooks, who loved packing.
He looks at Michael's phone.
Just quieten down, everyone, please.
He takes the phone from a plastic bag. He presses a keypad.
Hello? It is, yeah. Yeah, come straight up. Room 603. See you then.
Socko Pete has a look of alarm.
Mr. Trent's guests are on the way up. Now we've got us a party.
An aerial view over central London at dawn. Caption, Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks, Paul Nichols as ruggedly handsome DS Sam Casey, Patterson Joseph as athletic DI Wes Layton, caption, order. Dominic Rowan as suave, dark-haired SCP Jacob Thorne, Georgia Taylor as blonde Kate Barker, and Peter Davison as middle-aged Henry Sharp, Law & Order UK, this episode, Paternal. Ronnie sees two men step out of a hotel lift.
Hello, Yen. Detective Sergeant Brooks. Here to see Michael Trent.
Who?
You just rang him on his mobile, didn't you?
We're here to visit a business associate.
And what type of business is that?
It's all legal and above board.
That's not what I asked, though, was it?
They eyeball each other.
Are we under arrest?
Ronnie nods towards the other man.
He's chatty, isn't he? I'd like you to come down to the station. Answer a few questions. Voluntarily, of course.
Why would we do that?
Because, Yan, I can get very dog with a bone if I think someone's trying to hide something from me. You understand?
Shaven-headed Yan looks at his colleague. To Ronnie.
What about our meeting?
It's cancelled.
Capecchi, Radek. Assault. 3 counts of ABH. Possession of an offensive weapon.
DS Sam Casey leans back in his chair.
You know, it's important to master a trade. Were you planning on practicing on Michael Trent?
Dark-haired, angular-faced Radek gives a half-smile.
Sticking with silence, eh?
Capecchi, Yan. Taking without consent. Conspiracy to steal. Theft. Busy lad. Handling stolen goods.
I'm a legitimate businessman going about my lawful business.
Really? All right. Well, if I was to check the chassis numbers against the VIN numbers on this little lot, what would I find, Yan?
He holds up photos.
What do you want from me?
Michael Trent. Why were you taking these photos to him?
What's it got to do with you?
He's dead.
You think we do this? You think we kill this man?
No. But you're our only lead, so why don't we start with how you knew him?
He called us, said he was coming to town and wanted to meet.
Why?
He buys cars. We sell them.
You never met him before?
Still haven't.
Did you tell anyone you was meeting him?
Why would we do that?
Well, someone knew he was at that hotel.
Maybe you should ask him.
charging them.
Well, the Kopecky brothers may carry their biceps between their ears, but not even they are stupid enough to go and meet a bloke they've just killed.
What we got on that victim?
Michael Trent led the life of a nun, not so much as a parking ticket.
Yeah, he's meeting with pond life like the Kopecky brothers.
Yeah.
Lab just confirmed. Trent died from a single 22 caliber gunshot wound to the heart.
No signs of a struggle, no murder weapon, no casings.
Oh, so what we really got is a bloke in a green sweatshirt.
Michael Trent's bill and credit card details. Hotel fucks them over.
Thank you, Ange.
You say the door wasn't forced?
Well, Trent has let in whoever killed him, that's for sure.
Oh, he had a key card. Find out how easy it is to clone one.
Yeah, oh, we can do that, no problem.
What we got on the victim's phone?
It's pay-as-you-go, so we're waiting for the numbers from the provider.
You know, if Trent was shopping for motors from the Kopeckys, he'd have brought cash and lots of it.
No, the room safe hadn't been used.
Well, he did have a hold-all.
Oh, there you go, there's your motive.
They'd have to know that he was wedged up first.
No, maybe they got lucky.
There's no room service on this bill, so where did the vodka come from?
Well, where's the nearest off-licence?
Caption, wine, spirits and more.
He checked in at the hotel at 4:13, so any time after that, please.
All right.
The counter assistant points a remote at a CCTV monitor. They watch the tape fast forward.
There. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him. A bottle of vodka. He had this big wad of notes and kept waving it around. I told him to put it away. There's plenty of crackheads and drunks and hookers who'll have your arm off for less around here, believe me.
And did he?
What?
Put the money away.
Nah, just laughed. Yeah, he said, just point me in the direction of the hookers.
At the police station.
You reckon he picked up a Tom?
Well, if he did, we haven't found her. And plus, he was cutting it a bit fine. He was due to meet the Kopeckys at 6.
Well, unless she robbed and murdered him first, that's a possibility.
Repayments to his credit card are made from a shared account with a Rebecca Bryson from Portswood in Southampton.
Wife, maybe?
Well, I tried the contact number, but it just keeps going to voicemail.
There you go. This is the calls log from Michael Trent's phone. Mm-hmm. 7 calls to other mobiles, 3 of which are the same, and then 1 to a dental practice in Portswood, Hampshire.
It was Rebecca Bryson he called 3 times, right before the dentist. The last call to her mobile lasted 7 seconds. Just enough time to decide not to leave a message.
That's a ringer at work instead.
Exactly.
Sam dials the desk phone.
Hi, can I speak to Rebecca, please? No, it's her next door neighbour. I've stupidly locked myself out and she's got my only, Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Cheers, thanks. Becky's taking the afternoon off work. It's her birthday and she's on her way to London to meet her boyfriend.
Keep calling her mobile, meet her off the train.
It's one hell of a birthday present.
Caption, Waterloo Station, London SC1, Friday 25th January. Blonde Becky heads towards Sam and Ronnie, who hold up their ID.
Detective Brooks.
This is DS Casey.
What was so important you couldn't tell me on the phone?
Regarding Michael Trent, Miss Bryson.
What about him?
I'm afraid he's dead.
In a mortuary, a white sheet is pulled from Michael's body on a gurney. A tearful Becky looks at him and nods.
It's him.
Can I get you anything?
Becky shakes her head.
He knew this day would come. With his line of work.
Car dealer?
Lowering her gaze, she shakes her head.
He was a copper.
Ronnie has a look of disbelief. MIU headquarters.
Mikey was working for you lot, but in Southampton. In fact, you'll need to inform them. Start 0.
Unshaven Sam glances at Ronnie.
Sorry?
Code for Officer Down.
Sam feigns recollection.
Right.
He taught me all the jargon. You see, he was working undercover. He was tracking drug gangs, organised crime. Big stuff, you know.
Michael telling you all this, did that not, blow his cover?
We were engaged. He trusted me.
And you had a joint bank account, that's right, yeah?
He needed somewhere to put all the spare money. You know, away from prying eyes.
Did you ever meet any of his colleagues?
Once. He took 10 grand out of the account. A few months back, it was to pay an informant.
Did he ever use any other names?
There was a letter. for Gary. Gary Tully. He said it was the previous tenant, but could have been one, I suppose.
Did he take any money from the account before he came to London?
He said there was an undercover deal he had to take care of. It was a big payoff.
And how big?
250 grand.
Southampton plot. I've never even heard of Michael Trent.
That's quite scary. Are you going?
Well, you say that, but he was actually putting money into the account. Oh. Yeah. 90% of the money that was in there belonged to him.
My office, please. Well, if he wasn't ripping her off, what was he doing?
D.I. Wes Layton goes. Ronnie sits at a desk. Sam's at his desk and turns towards Ronnie behind him.
Is D.I. Chandler ever coming back?
She's looking after her mum. You'll get used to him.
What? Bonsais and all?
Well, you know what, mate? He may trim tiny trees, but he's still one of the good guys.
With a slight look of contempt, Sam turns back to face a monitor on his desk.
Bingo! Michael Trent might not be showing up anywhere, but Gary Tully is ringing all the bells.
Did you just say bingo?
He's wanted by the family court for non-payment of maintenance.
So there's a wife somewhere he owes?
Yeah, it has done for years. Maybe she got tired of waiting.
SW18.
We're looking for your daughter, Lindsay, Mr. Donovan.
Why, what's she done?
It's about her ex.
Found him at last, have you?
Well, sort of.
He's dead.
They're following bald Philip Donovan, who stops and turns to face them.
How'd it happen?
He was shot at a hotel near King's Cross.
He was here, in town. Last I heard, he was in Glasgow.
No, Southampton.
Oh, definitely Glasgow. Before that, Newcastle. Anywhere but here. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure if I do. I'm sorry.
Bastard owes us money.
How much?
Over 10 years? 100,000.
100 grand's a lot.
So's 100 if you haven't got it.
Yeah. Where were you yesterday evening around 5 p.m, Mr. Donovan?
Where I always am. Looking sacks of dirty tablecloths.
Where can we find your daughter?
They're by a laundry van.
Great Ormond Street. My grandson, Joe. He's got leukemia.
At the hospital.
Gary, what about him?
Sam looks at Joe.
Maybe we should go outside and talk about this.
Why, what's he done now?
Lindsay gently touches her son.
She's going to be outside, hon. Level 3, Mum. That's a boy.
He has an iPad. Lindsay's at a cafeteria table.
Gary never even bothered to see Joe.
What, even when he got sick?
Joe always hoped he'd come. Just like once upon a time I hoped he'd pay us the money that he owed us. When we first got married, it was so much fun, you know. He always had bundles of money.
But it didn't last.
At first, I pretended not to mind the overnight business trips. Tried to ignore the texts and the calls they'd get. It just got a lot harder. Especially when the waitresses he was shagging and the girls that he'd meet in bars started calling us at the house.
So you got divorced?
When I got pregnant with Joe. The day the divorce went through, he emptied all the accounts and left us with nothing.
What about the CSA? Couldn't they help?
Well, they tried. He's very clever. They claimed he was living abroad, created umbrella companies to hide the money. I sold the house, but he'd borrowed so much money against it, there was hardly anything left.
So you moved in with your dad?
Yeah. And he flogs himself on his rounds while I look after Joe. I should get a part-time job, really. There'll be time enough for that. Later.
She looks as if fighting back tears. Ronnie sits wearing a raincoat and leans towards her slightly, studying her face.
Where were you at 5 p.m. yesterday?
I was here with Joe, where I always am. I didn't kill Gary. I just wanted the money that he owed us.
We've got a few like Gary Tully. He's just an extreme example.
have got their own websites moaning about being stitched up by the women they married. And they advise on avoiding out of pay. If an ex-wife posts, calling them on it, they round up on her like a pack of wolves.
Charming.
Yeah, it's either that or grabbing the headlines, claiming they're the victims.
Or some of them are victims.
Not Gary Tully, he's an expert. We can't prove how much he's earning.
He opens the file.
He's jumping around the country, claiming he lives in Spain. He's got several IDs, including Michael Trent's, and he's using a string of pay-as-you-go mobile phones. So right now, can't trace him that way.
What about the local police?
We're chasing non-payment of maintenance. It's not on top of their list, is it?
Yeah, but he deals in used cars. I mean, you can't hide them.
On paper, he's an employee on minimum wage. Everything else is cash.
So there's nothing you can do? His kid's got leukemia.
Yeah, we know all about Joe. And if there's something we could do, trust me, we'd have done it. It says in here Tully's a potential bone marrow donor. Lindsay and her dad aren't a match.
And?
Closest we came was a couple of months ago.
What happened?
We found out he was in Southampton, so we sent a legal enforcement officer. By the time he's got there...
McCavity wasn't there. Now, they tracked Tully down to Southampton a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, didn't find him, though.
Ah. Except... the collection agent was there about the same time Tully made that 10 grand payoff, right?
You think the agent's bent?
Thames Riverbank, London W6. Sam strolls with a thick-set guy.
Any work I do for the CSA, strictly no collection, no fee. I don't even charge expenses.
Oh, that's good of you.
Well, my dad left when I was a kid. Only back then there was no one to go after him. I know what it's like.
So Southampton was a dead end?
Total.
It's definitely him.
Mr. Hancock?
Sorry?
£10,000, Sainsbury's carrier bag.
Wrong person, love.
What about Gary Tully, a couple of months ago? Does that ring any bells?
Probably calling himself Michael Trent.
Ronnie and Becky have joined them from a nearby bench seat.
He was lying.
She shakes her head.
Why don't we go and get a coffee, eh?
Sam guides a forlorn-looking Becky away.
Okay. So, I found Tully. He wasn't bothered. I thought it was a big joke. I said I was welcome to any cash I could find. I said, why don't we... get the cops to look after you while I search for it.
So what, did he make a counter-offer? 10 grand, no questions asked? What happened next, Mr. Hancock? Did you get a bit greedy? Ask for some more, or else?
No. I never saw him again.
Really? Where were you Thursday afternoon, then?
Catford. Shouting the odds over a repossession. In the street. Witnessed by about, 20 people.
How did you contact Tully? When you went to Southampton?
Mobile number. Told him I had some mercs I needed shifting.
How'd you get that number?
Father-in-law. Philip Donovan.
Larry's Laundry, Waterloo.
You're barking up the wrong tree. Phil's a good bloke. That bloody machine.
He gives it a shove.
Phil works harder than blokes half his age. Never complains. I wish my other drivers were like him. He does overtime and all. And also he can provide for his poor sick grandson.
Where was he on Thursday afternoon?
A clipboard.
Pentonville Road, Upper Street and Cali Road.
Has he ever missed a pickup?
Well, I know about it, pretty sharpish if he did. Restaurants tend not to like dirty tablecloths.
Can we keep that, please?
A sheet of paper from the clipboard.
And where will we find him now?
Sam checks.
Hammersmith.
So I had his number, so what?
You told us you didn't know where he was.
Well, I didn't. He could have been anywhere.
Mr. Donovan?
OK. Look, I got his number from a guy who sold him a car.
Oh, as easy as that?
Do you know how many of his old contacts I had to bribe?
Then what?
It was a business number. She never answered. He had to leave a message. If he thought it was kosher, he'd call you back. That way, he only had to turn his phone on long enough to listen. Couldn't be tracked.
It's clever.
Slippy. I just left a message. I told him Joe needed a bone marrow transplant. If he got a shred of decency, he'd get himself tested. I didn't hear back. Now, do you mind?
He climbs in the driver's seat of the blue laundry van. Ronnie and Sam head along a pavement, their hands in their pockets. The van's headlights come on.
No, it's the colour of his sweatshirt.
Yeah. Thing is, Sam, there are plenty of green sweatshirts in London, aren't there? Hey? More to the point. If they're sitting on all that dosh, why is he still lugging laundry about?
Well, maybe the money's not for him.
The van drives away.
You see that new iPad the kid had?
Yeah.
That's worth over 500 quid.
So where'd they get the money for that?
Great Ormond Street, 26th January.
You can pick your weapons. My favourite's a 357 Magnum with pea shooter as backup.
Pea shooter?
My gun's nickname.
Yeah, it's a nice bit of kit.
Granddad got it for me.
That was nice of him. When did he do that?
Yesterday.
Excuse me? What do you think you're doing?
Just admiring Joe's new iPad.
Not anymore, you're not.
They come out of Joe's ward.
I do not talk to him without my permission.
Which we would have asked for if you'd been there.
Ask now.
Your father brought in an iPad for your son yesterday morning.
So?
So it's the day after someone shot your ex-husband and helped themselves to 250 grand.
Dark-haired Lindsay looks downwards, then lifts her gaze.
We sold the last of Mum's jewellery. It wasn't much, but it's all Dad had left of her. We told Joe that Granddad had bought it for him. It's the thing that he wanted most in the world. We didn't want Joe to know that we were skint.
Sam looks chastened as Lindsay looks from one to the other, turns and heads towards the swing doors to the ward.
And after all she's been through, and now this.
Yeah, we still got to ask the question, Sam. Now, Philip Donovan is Mr. Reliable, right?
Set your watch by him, apparently.
Really? Then how did he find the time to go and buy an iPad and then bring it in here for his grandson yesterday morning?
I don't know, Ronnie. Maybe he just got up early.
You reckon? Well, according to his roster, Philip Donovan, on Friday morning, is supposed to be making a pickup at a brasserie round the corner from Tully's Hotel. So when did he find the time to make that pickup?
We spoke to the brasserie manager and you were there on Thursday around 5 p.m, he said.
Was I?
You changed your route.
Tully would have walked right past you on his way back to the hotel from the off-licence.
If you say so.
Mr. Donovan, you're under arrest. So, you're entitled to a brief, you understand that, don't you?
I've got nothing to hide.
At this moment, your flat's being searched by experienced police officers who... Well, let's face it, they know all the hiding places.
So, if you've got anything to tell us, now's the time.
Why? What do you think you're going to find?
If you're seen to cooperate...
It's a pity you people didn't make this much effort to get that shit to pay us what he owed. I mean, where were you all then?
Now, you haven't got enough. Not without an admission, which I don't see happening.
CP Kate Barker's with Wes, who goes to the phone.
Leighton. Okay, I'm coming down.
In the interview room.
I wanted to see Joe on Friday, that's all.
Yes, yes, which is why you changed your route, you've already said.
That's right.
But there was no other reason.
You bump into Gary, you go up to his room, ask him for the money he owes you, it gets ugly.
I magic the gun up from where?
He watches besuited Wes come in.
For the record, Detective Inspector Leighton has just entered the room.
I'm showing Mr. Donovan two rolls of £50 notes found in a packet of frozen peas in your flat. Do you want to tell me how you came by the money?
I want it. On the horses.
That's lucky. Which horse?
Philip stares at him.
All right, then, which race? What were the odds?
Philip lowers his gaze, tensing his jaw. Sam sits with a bemused smile. Ronnie.
Philip. I can't imagine what you, your daughter and your family, your loved ones have been through. I really can't. I think now's the time to tell us the truth, don't you?
He gives a slight nod of encouragement. Sitting on the other side of a table, Philip takes a deep breath.
I saw him on the street. I went up to his room.
And you came by the money. How?
Philip looks at Wes, who leans on the table, then drops his gaze. Ronnie raises his eyebrows.
I think maybe it's time for that brief, don't you?
London SE1.
No CCTV of my client. No independent witnesses. No murder weapon. No forensic evidence. Well, this is going to be fun.
We've got the money, Eleanor.
Some money, Jake. Which can't be linked to Gary Tully.
Philip Donovan admits to going up to Gary Tully's room.
And he swears Gary was alive when he left. Do you have proof otherwise?
Kate shifts in her seat.
Still a bit new to this, I expect.
We've got motive.
Oh, This is an elderly man who just cares for his daughter and his dying grandson.
And who hated Gary Tully.
Well, apparently so did a lot of people.
Yeah, but they didn't kill him.
Then let's go to court. I'll tell the story of a man wrongly accused who did everything he could to help his family, and the story of the man who did everything he could not to. Reasonable prospect of conviction? Tell him, Kate.
Glamorous Eleanor Flint goes in Henry Sharp's office.
Eleanor's right, of course. Our case is iffy at best.
I can put him at the scene. I've got motive and I've got the money.
And Eleanor Flint has the sympathy card.
She'll make this about personalities, I would.
Letter doesn't alter the facts.
Which are what? You can't prove that Philip Donovan was even in the hotel room when Gary Tully died.
You do know around here we do the prosecuting, don't you?
Philip Donovan is not a criminal mastermind. He hid the cash in the frozen peas, for God's sake. He'll have made mistakes. He has to have done.
That gun must have come from somewhere. How'd he get hold of it?
And what did he do with it afterwards?
According to the police, he went straight back to the depot.
How did Donovan see him that night?
We didn't speak. It was late. I was on my way out.
Anyone else speak to him?
The place was nearly empty. Are you going to put all that back?
Two officers searching the laundry.
So, Philip Donovan hotfoots it back here from the hotel. He's scared, confused, and he doesn't want to just throw a gun in a bin in case someone finds it. He wants to dispose of it properly. He stashes the gun so we can take care of it later.
But, unfortunately...
He pulls out a cloth.
For Mr. Donovan.
He reaches for a cloth bundle.
We arrest him first.
Yeah.
Holding the bundle in gloved hands, Ronnie unwraps the cloth, revealing a gun. Sam looks at the find.
22 caliber.
What are the chances of that, eh?
Jake, ballistics match, and the gun was wiped down, but they managed to lift a partial thumbprint.
Philip Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're bonding. That's nice.
Over the ballistic report.
Uh-huh. The one that matches the gun to your client.
So, if you want to change your plea, now will be a good time.
It's still not guilty.
We've got his prints, Eleanor.
Which is why I'll be running self-defense.
According to you, Donovan wasn't even there.
New instructions. They argued. Tully pulled a gun. It went off in the struggle.
Tully pulled the gun?
Copy of the license. The gun was Tully's.
Looking self-satisfied, she goes. Temple Walk, 31st January. Henry walks with Kate and Jake as snow falls.
So, Gary Tully was armed. Think he was expecting trouble?
Maybe all that money made him nervous.
Makes it easier for Eleanor to run self-defense.
Well, she can run what she likes. It's still murder.
So, sufficient evidence?
Yes, in public interest.
How about reasonable prospect of conviction?
No.
Why not?
There's no proof of intent. They met on the street. Philip Donovan wasn't armed. It wasn't planned. On top of that, Eleanor will argue reasonable force. She'll say that Tully was the aggressor and that Donovan was in fear of his life. What jury wouldn't believe that?
Do you really think Philip Donovan's the sort to go for someone half his age holding a gun on him?
Who knows?
Lindsay Donovan might.
Are you going to send Dad to prison?
It's Crown Prosecutor Barker's job these days. Doesn't sound right, does it?
Kate looks away.
Look, my dad is a good, kind man.
Does he have a temper?
Only at injustices. You know, when different rules apply. Corporate bosses not taking the blame. Footballers getting away with speeding. That sort of thing.
Ex-husbands not paying their way.
Eleanor touches Lindsay's arm, signalling restraint, and mouths no.
OK. What about your ex? Would you characterise him as violent? Is he the sort who'd pull a gun?
Lindsay stares at her.
The day I told Gary I was divorcing him, he decided to return the favour by using me as an ashtray.
She pulls down the neck of her top, revealing a burn mark on her chest. Eleanor gives her a little nod, then stares at Kate.
Does that answer your question?
Tell Miss Flint we'll accept a plea to manslaughter. Loss of control, genuine fear that Tully would use serious violence.
I still think...
Let's put this one to bed, Jake. It's turning toxic.
He goes in his office, leaving Kate with Jake.
He's right, Jake. And manslaughter, I mean, it's something.
It's settling.
How? You can't make your case.
Don't you mean we can't?
Where's the proof? Eleanor says they met, they argued, Tully pulled a gun. Does anyone say different?
I say it's a hell of a coincidence.
Then try this. A couple of days after he died, the girlfriend says the hospital wrote to Tully. I checked. He'd made an appointment for a test to see if he was a match for his son.
So?
So... The man was a potential donor. You really think Philip Donovan was looking to kill him?
Plead guilty to manslaughter, you could be out in 2 years. Be there for your daughter, but go to trial. Be found guilty of murder, you'll die in prison.
Oh, seriously, Jake?
I'm laying out for your client exactly what he faces.
Oh, emotional blackmail now?
Your daughter's going to need you. What help will you be to her inside?
2 years.
Or a lifetime.
Or none.
It's your choice.
Breathing deeply, Philip looks world-weary and lowers his gaze as if in thought. He shuts his eyes for a moment.
I begged him.
Philip,
no, I want to.
Eleanor has a sympathetic expression.
I told Gary we were desperate. We couldn't do it on our own. Costa looking after Joe.
Jake and Kate watch him unblinkingly. Philip tightens his lips.
He's the best boy in the world.
It's okay.
At first, I thought he was going to help. He got out this bag of money. He said, did I really think he was that much of a mug? Then he got this gun out. I couldn't believe it. It was like a movie. And I'm thinking, this is it. And he said, he's going to teach me a lesson. And I'm looking at Pea Shooter. I was terrified. I threw myself at him and grabbed his arm. And I don't know, it just went off.
Okay. Manslaughter.
Caption, plea hearing.
I can do this if you'd rather.
No, I want to. Eleanor's been calling the shots for too long. It's my turn now.
Philip stands in the dock of a courtroom.
Are you Philip Michael Donovan?
Yes.
You have been charged on an indictment alleging one count of murder contrary to common law. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
My client pleads guilty to the charge of manslaughter, my lord.
Is that an acceptable plea to the Crown?
No, my lord. The Crown intends to proceed on the count of murder on the indictment.
What?
We go to trial.
Lindsay, sitting in the courtroom, looks stunned. Kate, in her barrister's wig and gown, sits. 13th February.
A nickname? You've hauled this in here for a nickname.
According to their notes, when the police talked to your grandson, he called his gun Pea Shooter.
On a game, for God's sake.
The same name you use for Gary Tully's gun.
All right, this is completely inappropriate and illegal.
I misspoke.
No, don't talk to him.
Is that right?
Who do you think you are? And I hope you're happy you crossed over. Proud? My sympathies. Hope the regular paycheck makes it worthwhile. Right, this meeting's over.
Pea Shooter's real, isn't it? Joe said it's the name that you gave to Gary Tully's gun, the gun he saw in your flat. Gary never took it after the divorce. It was in the hotel room because you brought it.
They're by an outside coffee stall.
Philip Donovan had the gun. His daughter gave it to him for protection.
New instructions, again.
Tully saw the gun sticking out of his pocket. He grabbed it. Tully's still the aggressor. My client was still in fear for his life.
Nice story, but he isn't true.
Well, let the jury decide. It's what you want, isn't it?
Accept the plea, I said. Did I not make myself clear?
Henry.
If you go to trial, this will turn into a beauty pageant. And Philip Donovan's a lot prettier than Gary Tully.
We won't let that happen.
Juries always do what you want them to.
He had the gun.
Which his daughter gave him for his own protection. You want to throw the book at her for that? Be my guest.
She must know something.
You think she's going to give evidence against her own father?
Fine. Issue a witness summons. Tell her unless she cooperates, we'll have her on joint enterprise.
Oh, yes, that will play wonderfully well out there. A witch hunt for the woman with the dying son. That's really in the public interest.
He just happened to be carrying this gun when he just happened to bump into Tully on the day that he just happened to change his route.
Coincidence.
I'm a prosecutor. No such thing.
Look, Philip Donovan changed his route so he could see Joe the next morning, which put him near Tully's hotel that afternoon.
Why? Why that morning? Why that afternoon?
Who knew Tully would be at the hotel that afternoon?
RJK Autos.
Are you kidding me?
What? Not even a hello, detective? You're looking especially dapper today?
We said all we have to say. You'd never met him before. How did Gary Tully, or as you knew him, Michael Trent, know to call you? Maybe he Googled us.
Philip Donovan. Ever heard of him?
Never. He wants to buy a card. We can make him a good deal.
Right, this is what's going to happen. You maybe come down to the station with me, And we spoke about VIN numbers, chassis numbers and all that malarkey.
Well, in a couple of hours, the men from Customs and Revenue are going to be here and, well, you know the sort of search and seizure powers they have.
Only the sort we could dream of.
They'll be checking everything, paperwork, pesky stuff like VAT.
Okay. Okay. There was a middleman. He told us about this guy, always on the lookout for classy motors. So we called him.
Well, why didn't you tell us this before?
Look, we go to a meeting and the guy's dead. Maybe we think we've been set up.
Or maybe you wanted to keep the middleman to yourselves.
So where can we find this man? Or will he be in little pieces somewhere?
Please, we're not animals. His name is Hancock. He's a collection agent.
I didn't do anything.
Hancock's in an interview room.
But you fixed it so that Tully came to London, didn't you, Mr. Hancock?
Oh, and that's illegal, is it? Who are you, the Stasi?
Do you really want to go with sarcasm right now?
You see, we think that the only reason Tully was persuaded to come to London in the first place was so that he could be killed.
And if we find out that you knew that, then that, my friend, is conspiracy to murder.
You may as well have pulled the trigger yourself.
You can't do that.
Ronnie returns his stare with a knowing look. Hancock looks at Sam, who has a nonchalant expression. Hancock's smile fades.
It was Philip Donovan.
Besuited Ronnie puts on his glasses, gives Sam a nod and writes.
The plan was to bring Tully to town.
And then what?
Get him arrested, recover the money. He promised me a cut, which he stiffed me on.
So, it was all Donovan's idea?
Yeah, but he never said anything about a bloody gun.
He's lying.
They're at the CPS.
A witness statement from Daryl Hancock that says otherwise.
From a self-confessed liar and cheat.
It says how you got him to have the Capecchi brothers contact Tully, arrange a meet.
It's ridiculous.
Hancock told you where the meeting was. You turned up ahead of it, killed Tully, and took the money.
Using the gun you gave him.
Which makes you part of all this.
This has nothing to do with her.
You don't kill a potential donor.
Well, it depends how much you hate them.
It's absurd.
Let's see if the jury agrees.
He gives Philip a penetrating look. Lindsay looks solemn-faced at her father.
We knew he wasn't a match for Joe. Lindsay had some old medical records. So I got Hancock to bring Tully there.
Why not just have him arrested? Recover the money that way.
You saw how he ran rings around the CSA. Joe's dying.
Lindsay's chin trembles.
How much time do you think we've got?
So you stole the money.
Thin-faced Philip looks out from hangdog eyes at Jake, then at his daughter. He looks back at Jake and nods.
Yes.
And killed Gary Tully.
Philip shuts his eyes.
Yes.
In Kate and Jake's office.
So Philip Donovan will plead guilty to murder.
And hope for a sympathetic judge when it comes to sentencing.
And all without Eleanor comparing Donovan to Tully. She'd have had the jury wanting to kill him themselves.
Well, at least he was going to be tested for a bone marrow transplant.
Wasn't picky where he put his cigarettes out, though, was he?
Okay, well, I just wanted to say you were right, Jacob, and I was less so.
Gracious of you.
It was, wasn't it? I don't think getting that test done was such a big deal. Surely they could have just checked his records, like the Donovans did.
In an overcoat, he heads out with his briefcase.
Fancy a drink?
Kate stares.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Putting down her pen, she takes her coat from a stand, then looks thoughtful.
Jake, what sort of records did Lindsay Donovan have?
She's at Lindsay's door.
I've got nothing to say to you.
Kate keeps the door from closing.
I spoke to the transplant team, Lindsay. I know. Why you conspired with your father to kill your ex-husband.
Lindsay moves back, holding open the door wider. Inside.
Medical records won't tell you if someone's a donor match. You have to be tested for that. But they will tell you their blood type. They will tell you if they're not the father of your child.
Lindsay stands motionless, staring downwards.
Why did Gary change his mind? All that time not caring, and then suddenly he wants to get tested.
Standing facing a table, Lindsay takes her hand from her cardigan pocket and gestures to a chair. They sit opposite each other in the dimly lit room. Kate lifts the strap of her shoulder bag over her head and puts it down.
It was Dad. He told Gary that if he got tested, they'd drop the CSA claim.
Just like that.
Dad was so happy.
But you weren't.
Lindsay keeps her gaze averted.
I always knew there was a chance that Gary wasn't Joe's father. I kept that to myself. Well, afterwards, Dad wondered why I wasn't jumping up and down.
Because you knew, the second Gary found out he wasn't Joe's father, your claim for child support go up in a puff of smoke. You'd have nothing.
Lindsay breathes deeply and blinks heavily.
They told us about this new drug. Joe's consultant said the early signs are very promising. We can't get it on the NHS. Do you know what that means? That means that my son's life's not worth saving.
Kate presses her hands together and looks uncomfortable. Lindsay stands and opens a cupboard full of medication.
That's a 6-week course. It's £2,000 a day. He told me it may be lengthen Joe's life by a year. Maybe two.
Kate looks as if struggling to contain her emotions.
Do you have kids?
No.
I can pretty much tell you the number of nights that I have left watching him go to sleep. The smell on the back of his neck. His heart beating.
Her face crumples. Kate's working at her desk. Jake looks across the office at her.
You know she's as guilty as her dad.
We can't prove that her dad made this deal with Gary to be tested, and Philip Donovan isn't going to talk.
So?
He brings her a file.
We build a case.
He holds it out to her.
We speak for the victim, Kate. Because no one else does.
There's no way that this does not punish the kid as well.
Look. Tully is not even the boy's father. He owes them nothing.
Yeah, Ronnie, if she goes to trial, Joe's going to die alone.
Lindsay Donovan has to answer for what she did.
And you're okay with that, are you?
We don't get to ask that one, Sammy.
Lindsay opens the door to Ronnie and Sam. She looks at them for a moment, then pulls open the door wider for them to come in. She closes the door. Characters and events in this film are fictitious. Any similarity between them and actual characters or events is coincidental. Audio description by Deluxe.